Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome and good morning, God-fearing, liberty-loving, Christian nationalist patriots. Welcome to the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty, broadcasting from Patriot Hill Territory in the American Redoubt. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you, and good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Thrash Economy Thursday.
Thrash 'em! Yeah, yes.
That almost works. Comes with a sick 'em.
Sick 'em! Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, there are some sicking 'em going on, some thrashing that's taking place.
Oh, yes.
And
yeah, and we get to just report it. We don't have to be the ones doing the thrashing.
We don't get to be the ones that thrash. We just have to, we just get to report on it.
Well, and in light of all of that, we've got a lot to cover, surely, after
yes,
the break.
Yes, we do.
But do you know what we forgot to do? The second day of our tradition yesterday.
Yes, I do. And we, as soon as we signed off, I was like, oh, man.
Yep.
The joke.
Me too.
The Christmas joke.
Yeah.
So now
we're 10 days away. We are just 10 days away. Can you believe that?
No.
And so do you want me to do the joke right now so don't forget it?
In 20 days, it's going to be the 4th of July. So, I mean, as fast as time's going.
Right.
All right. So.
Yes. July 4th is in next week.
Yeah. Within 2 weeks after Christmas. Okay. So we've got not the word of the day, the joke of the day.
Yes.
And this is holiday themed jokes.
That's right.
What do you got for us?
Well, okay. So I asked my boss, can I have a few days off seeing as it's so close to Christmas? He said, it's May. Sorry, I replied. May I have a few days off, seeing it's so close to Christmas?
That's great.
Well, you know, it's funny because that's kind of how I view Christmas too. I mean, I don't really celebrate it anymore because Jesus was not born on December 25th, and so it's a lie. So how do you celebrate something that's a lie? But, you know, still it's we get a chance to honor the birth of our Lord. And so where's it wrong? We just probably shouldn't do it on a pagan day. But anyway, back when I used to be super big on Christmas, like I was a Christmas fiend.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I would be happy leaving the tree up year round, you know, if I could get away with it. But yeah, I could surely see going, hey, May, look at how close we're getting to Christmas.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. I love it. Yeah, I love all the festivities and everything. So yeah, we took it over. Conquest. Way to go, Crusaders. Christmas is ours now.
Boy, I don't know. I don't know.
Why did the God haters try to get rid of it so badly? I mean, it's obviously everybody recognizes it as a Christian holiday. Nobody looks at it and goes, yay, it's Christmas, the pagan holiday. They're like, huh?
Well,
they don't even know what that even means.
It's not us that matters. It's not us and how we view it that matters. It's how God views it. And in Jeremiah, he specifically says, don't take after the heathens and don't stand up the tree held up in the corner with ropes and strings or whatever and decorate it with little balls, because that was originally a celebration to celebrate Tammuz,
the Christmas tree was a phallic symbol, yeah, actually in pagan worship.
Yeah.
And you get really.
And it was Tammuz's birthday, December 25th, and that was the original day. And so God knows what that day means. And so it's really, our interpretation means nothing when God says, don't take after them with their decorating of a tree and all of that. And he knows what the original thing is. And so I just kind of tread very carefully in that direction, especially since it's a lie.
Well, that's the thing that gets me. I mean, first of all, they get Christians to start celebrating on a pagan holiday.
Yep.
And using all of the same symbology, just like they did with Easter.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
And, you know, the rabbit, I mean, all of that is a symbol of you know, the fertility god for Easter.
Yep.
And in, you know, December 25th. On top of that, they, like, what's the word? They scammed the church out of the Sabbath.
Right.
You know, yep. and slid in, they slid them right into the pagan Sunday, the day yep. of worshiping the sun on Sunday, and, you know, made this official decree from the Roman Catholic Church. We approve. It will be Sunday from here on out. We're going to worship on
Constantine was the day, original one that changed the day by law.
Right, the day of Ra, the sun god. Yep. And so that's when we're all going to call holy. And everybody forgot about the Sabbath, the right. seventh day, which is biblical. And so, anyway,
thing, too. That's the thing. And it, you know, the question comes to mind real quickly is, so what do you do when you find out the truth, right? What do you do when what you have been doing so long as a tradition of men ends up being an outright lie and a way to deceive you away from God's real blessings of God's declared holidays?
Right.
It basically is meant to rob you of the blessings of his holidays with his presence, where he is inviting you and you don't show up because you don't even know about his holidays, because you've been celebrating all of these false pagan shoe-in holidays. You know,
not just following a lie, but then covering the truth. The truth is, right. you know, the Sabbath, right. the seventh day, which the early church followed. I mean, it's biblical, and the early church did, you know, until Constantine changed it,
right.
you know, 300 years later. And the same thing with Easter. Let's just scrub the Passover, which is a biblical holiday, and replace it with the worship of the fertility god Ishtar. Hey, we'll just call it Easter instead of Ishtar.
Right.
And the Roman Catholic Church says, we hereby approve. It's official.
Right.
God spoke to us, and so here you go. And everything got shifted. Everything
That's right.
got shifted. And so, and then when you learn the truth and you go, hey, wait, hold on a minute. We've been lied to.
Yeah, we've had the wool pulled over our eyes.
All the other minions are going, you know, they want to attack you. You know, you're a weirdo. You're a freak.
Well, and then they want to defend the lie. Because,
oh, yeah.
And here, this is a biblical attribute of humanity as well. There's nothing new under the sun, because like Mark 7:9 through 13 says, it says, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. And that was Jesus's words. And so
yes.
those same words apply to all of these false holidays.
Right. And that's not, you know, this is totally different than holidays that we have where we memorialize service members who've given their lives in defense of our country, you know, Memorial Day or the 4th of July. That's, you celebrate your independence.
Right.
The Jews had something, it wasn't biblical at all, called Hanukkah,
right?
It was a victory over their enemies, over a tyrannous system, and they took their city and their temple back. That's a patriotic, you know, celebration. And, you know, so, you know, we've got the 4th of July. That's not what we're talking about. That's not the traditions of man that you're following. No, these are when traditions of men replace God's feasts and holidays
right.
that he calls his people to.
Right. They're all outlined in Leviticus. I think it starts with like chapter 23, if I'm not wrong. It's
right.
like either 20 or 23. But they're all listed. God lists them all very explicitly, word for word. And they don't say these are the holidays of the Jews. That is not what it says.
Right.
It says these are my feasts. Saying, you know, this is God saying it
yes.
himself. And so we can't contradict God, especially when he says these are my feasts.
Well, what's interesting is that you'll hear biblical teachers, from Sunday school teachers to pastors from the pulpit, saying you can't just God's word is not a buffet where you get to pick and choose what you want.
Right.
Right. So then you bring up, well, what about the Sabbath? What about Passover?
Right.
Well, that's Old Testament. Oh, really? But you're right there going, hey, kids, have you heard the story about Gideon? Have you heard about Moses?
Right.
Have you heard about King David?
Right.
Have you, and
have
so,
you read
wait,
Psalms?
Hey, yeah, put the brakes on, dude. That's Old Testament. Why are you even talking about that? That's not even the same thing that we fought. Oh, yes, it is. Right? All these miracles God did. Well, it's the same God. And God said, these are my feasts. These are my festivals.
Yep. And he invites each of us to it.
Absolutely. Yep. Now, granted, there is nothing about Christ's birth I mean, there's all kinds of stuff about Christ's birth in the Bible, but not a date.
Not the date.
It's most likely in the spring, because that's when the sheep were in the field tending their flocks, keeping an eye on their flocks, because that's when they were lambing, you know. And so that would take place in the spring. It was most likely born, you know, April-ish.
Right.
But we don't know, so I have no problem with picking a date. Make it December 24th, so it's not on sun god, you know, whatever. I don't care. I love the idea of celebrating the birth of our Savior.
Right.
Even if it's not a biblical holiday, I don't think you're out of line by doing that.
Well, just I think you're on a better path to pick a different date and still do it like the 24th if you choose to, because at least then you're not celebrating on Tammuz's birthday, you know, and you know, at least it's not somebody that was adamantly against the Lord and having a pagan holiday. And so I mean, as far as that goes,
well, how would people feel if they said, guys, we love the 4th of July, okay, but we're going to move it to George Floyd's birthday,
right?
And we're going to celebrate it on George Floyd's birthday.
Right, you know? Exactly.
And you're like, what? That has nothing to do with, doesn't matter. It's just makes us all feel good. Right. I mean, you'd see some uproar. So why are we celebrating on a false God, pagan God's, you know?
Exactly.
Day?
Well, just the fact that it's a lie to begin with. He wasn't born that day. So it's not his birthday, flat out. And so, well, you know.
Interesting discussion, though.
It is, and I think that for your sake, if we would rather celebrate on the 24th, just as a random day that also,
pick a day.
You know, there you go. I think that's probably about as good as it could get.
It's tough territory to get into, though, because, you know, like 90% of the Christians got their finger in their ear going, la, 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 don't want to hear it. You know, it's tough. We want to do what's right to the Lord.
Well, you want to do that first and foremost, and who cares about what you want? You know what I mean? It really doesn't matter what we want. We don't create our God. We read what he tells us to do and do it.
Right.
Yeah.
God didn't ask us our opinion.
That's right.
I've looked everywhere.
You've looked everywhere and you don't see anything
in
there.
Anywhere where my opinion counts or overrules God's opinion, I just can't find it.
Yep, that's right.
All right. Well, interesting, unplanned discussion, but a great discussion, I think, nonetheless. So let's get to the word of the day. What do you got for us there, Lady Liberty?
Okay. So the word of the day for Thrashakami Thursday comes to us from Isaiah chapter 64, the whole thing.
Oh.
All 12 verses. And so it reads, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence, as fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down. The mountains shook at your presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you, who acts for the one who waits for him. You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. You are indeed angry, for we have sinned. In these ways we continue, and we need to be saved. But we are like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are potter, and all we are the work of your hand. Do not be furious, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. Indeed, please look, we all are your people. Your holy cities are a wilderness, Zion is a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and beautiful temple, where our fathers praised you, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid to waste. Will you restrain yourself because of these things, O Lord? Will you hold your peace and afflict us severely? And that's it.
Wow.
Well, and that, of course, is according, well, the Bible notes describe that this is a continuation of the prayer of Isaiah called a prayer of penitence.
Yes.
And here is praying that God would come down in earth-shaking manifestation to punish the nations and to save Zion as would a father. And in fact, Paul alludes to this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, to support the fact that sinful man is ignorant of what God has accomplished in Christ. And it refers in verse 6 to righteousness as filthy rags. And it says, sin and guilt have left the Israelites like soiled underclothes. And so in verse 8, where it describes clay and the potter. Now, this metaphor points to the sovereignty of God who molds the individual, the nations, and the history of mankind. And so, prophetically, Isaiah describes Jerusalem and the temple in ruin and desolation following the captivity over 100 years later. So that's kind of a cool thing, that he's actually looking forward to a future event and describing it in detail right there.
Yeah.
So that's
pretty
cool.
When I'm listening to this, I'm thinking about how I feel about my own country, how deserving we are of God's judgment.
Yep.
How evil and wicked, thoroughly corrupt it is, I mean, to the core, which doesn't represent a lot of Americans. You know, they are not us. But this country under these globalists have done so much evil and destruction, and it's getting worse, and it feels like nothing ever happens to them. Something has to be done. It's not like, you know, militias could rise up and take our country back. This is so big, it's so deep and so corrupted to such a level that it would take God's hand. I mean, coming down with a hammer and smashing the whole system.
Right.
For it to be, you know, any chance of being rebuilt. And I think of this, I think if I can relate to his prayer, praying for your country after the hammer smash comes, then the dust settles. Now you're praying that the Lord will let you rebuild.
Yep, right.
You know, and that's kind of where he's at right here.
Right.
And so I can relate to that.
Well, and that is a cool statement that you're talking about here, where it says that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence, as fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. I would love for that to happen alone.
Oh, yeah.
That right there. To all the godless, to all of the communists who want to dethrone God and destroy capitalism, right?
Yep, set their own thrones up.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
And so I would love to see that reckoning where the Lord just comes down, and they will. They will get to see that.
They will get to see that
in his second coming at the end of the great tribulation when the heavens do part, and he comes down and they all see him. And at that point, their pride disappears and diminishes to less than zero.
Oh, they're going to be on their faces. They're going to be begging for the mountains to come down on top of them because of the fear of the Lord.
That's right.
And they'll be cursing him too at the same time.
Right.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Well, okay. So what scripture was that? That was Isaiah.
That was Isaiah chapter 64.
64.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Got that. Now we do not have a break today. So, we've got a couple of audio clips lined up here.
We sure do.
And so that's really great. Oh, one thing, though, speaking kind of along the lines of this, you know, the evil and the wicked being held accountable, the House Republicans have authorized a Biden impeachment inquiry. So this is actually official now. I guess they got the votes. And that's why they've been holding off, because they didn't want to not have the votes to do it and push for, even though so many people agree he needs to be impeached.
Right.
It would be a victory for the Biden camp if you ran forward with this impeachment inquiry and it fell on its face.
Right.
They don't want that to happen. So they've been trying to get all the ducks in a row. Now it looks like it's going to happen. So we'll be watching that very closely. But his son, we've got several things to cover. So
we sure do. Well, let's jump right in. As you all probably heard already, Hunter Biden failed to show up for his congressional inquiry, and he just flat out refused to do it. Yet he showed up outside to do a press conference saying that he was there to do it, and then he disappeared. He ran away.
Right. Now listen to what he said. This is so pathetic. This is what the term gaslighting is a pretty new term that gets thrown around and nobody really seems to know what it means or what it is. Nebulous statement.
This thing.
But listen to what he says. This is what you might call gaslighting, right? This is where
if he's just like blowing hot air.
He flips. So here's the perpetrator flipping everything, like everybody attacking him is just attacking him out of spite,
and this treasonous criminal to the United States.
Right. Yeah. And so he's just lambasting all the people that are against him and his family and his dad and my dad's love for me. And it makes you just want to just vomit. But this is what we're up against. So, take a listen.
Ukraine against Russia is the result of a non-existent bribe. They displayed naked photos of me during an oversight hearing. And they have taken the light of my dad's love, the light of my dad's love for me, and presented it as darkness. They have no shame. These same committee chairmen have engaged in unprecedented political interference in what would have already been a 5-year investigation of me. Yet, here I am, Mr. Chairman, taking up your offer when you said we can bring these people in for depositions or committee hearings, whichever they choose. Well, I've chosen. I am here to testify at a public hearing today to answer any of the committee's legitimate questions. Republicans do not want an open process where Americans can see their tactics, expose their baseless inquiry, or hear what I have to say. What are they afraid of? I'm here. I'm ready.
Hunter, are you willing to go across the street? Why don't you?
Oh boy, that was so just, first of all, you have to ask, what was that, right? And what he did basically was he read a pre-written soundbite strictly for the complicit lying media to pump out across the nation to all the TV watching communists who basically require no follow-up.
Right.
All they need is his lie to feed the lie lovers, right? And so, when all the ignorant lie lovers continue to persecute Trump for being such a villain, that's all that was for. He made it sound like he was the victim and that the Republicans refused to listen to him and they're so mean to him. They displayed naked photos of me. They have no shame. This guy
has no shame. He's taking naked pictures of himself with a crack pipe and prostitutes.
Prostitutes,
and he's saying,
over and over.
These people that found my laptop pictures have no shame.
Yes,
oh my gosh.
Exactly.
He didn't even write that. Obviously, it was written by somebody.
Right.
But he didn't.
That was written specifically just for the lying mass media.
Yeah, they had to take the crayons out of his mouth and out of his hands and push him to
ears.
The side so that they could write it for him, and he couldn't even read it well.
The fact that he was in contempt of Congress for doing what he did.
He's going to be too when he gets in front of him. But then he says, I'm here. What are you afraid of? And then he turns around and runs the other way.
Yeah.
They're like, well, are you going to go across the street? Are you going to...
answer questions?
Right. No, I've got a lunch thing to do.
Yeah. Right. When you are subpoenaed by Congress, you don't do a no-show.
No.
No. Nobody. I mean, even Christopher Wray shows up for congressional subpoenas.
Well, he's special. You know? Biden. Yeah, the Bidens are special. They don't have to follow any rules.
Well, they're special, all right.
But, you know, it was kind of cool because Cass Patel weighed in on the same thing that you and I were saying yesterday, what they're doing to Trump.
Right.
Because if you remember what Steve Bannon was saying on the War Room, is that they're freaking out because of Trump and all of his calls for retribution when it's justice. It's holding people accountable for their crimes. That's what right. Cash Patel was saying.
Using the law to punish a criminal.
Yeah, yep. And this is what he had to say.
Why are they so threatened by the prospect of rooting out and if the evidence and the facts necessitate prosecuting actual corruption? That's not revenge.
That's just it. You nailed it. They are afraid that President Trump is going to come in and actually use the law to prosecute those who broke it, whether they're in government, whether they're in the private sector, civilians, and yes, even if they're in the media, if they participated in a conspiracy to rig elections and break the law or do other corrupt activities, you'll be prosecuted. In fact, the mainstream media, when my interview occurred yesterday on Real America's network here, voice here, they just did a disinformation headline grab and said, quote unquote, Cash Patel is prosecuting the media. The entire quote, which is literally two sentences, it's not a 10-minute thing, says, we will use the Constitution and the courts of law to go after those that broke the law, including those in the media. That is an absolutely perfect statement that you would want former law enforcement to say and encourage current law enforcement to be doing, but they're not. So I think they're threatened because we caught them in Russiagate. We caught them with the 51 Intel letter. We caught them on Jan 6. We're catching them in Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's criminal activities, and American citizens are tired of it. And they know they're in on it. That's when criminals fret the most, and now that's why they're slinging baseless rhetoric and hyperbole.
That's right. And here's where all the demons scream, are you here to punish us? Can you please let us go into the swine?
Yes, exactly. That's what they're doing. They're afraid of this regime getting flipped and a real American patriot being in the position to hold these people accountable for all their lies. Yeah, yesterday I said 40 plus something. What do you say, 51?
51 of them, yep.
Yep, they all need to go down. They need to go to the gallows as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, we're out of time. Join us tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. You guys be safe out there. This is The Morning Commute.
That's right. You all have a thankful Thrashakami Thursday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.